to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and research. Awesome day today. A lot of stuff has been going on. As we talked about yesterday, it was an intense show, got a lot of feedback on it. More stuff going on as we see throughout the day now and overnight. Just a lot of stuff's brewing up, guys. So again, I always encourage everybody, make sure you are staying prepared for anything. And I know I say that a lot, and most people probably just think I say that just loosely. I don't. I mean that sincerely. And I'm not saying live in a state of fear. I mean live in the exact opposite. Live in a state of preparedness where you do not have to live in fear, because you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you know that you have all the tools, supplies, and knowledge you need to handle just about any situation that may arise. So just stay prepared on a regular basis, because I can promise you right now something big is in the works and is about to happen, whether or not it's some type of attack or shooting or any false flag or weather manipulation. I have no idea, but I'm telling you, you can feel it in the air. Something is about to happen to try to cover up what's being unleashed now and the truth of what we're seeing in the Ukraine and the money and just everything, Dad. And you had some more stuff you were talking about now. So what's the first article you want to start off with?
Well, first of all, I want to let everybody know that, you know, this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. It doesn't matter, you know, what's going on this earthly realm we're on. You know, we have a temporarily, you know, this is, it's aggravating to us. But the truth of the matter is, it doesn't pass the 100-year sniff test. In 100 years from us, from now, everybody listening to the show, including you, Austin, will be gone off this earthly plane. And so it's just an interesting thing to me. I mean, that's how you have to look at this. You can't allow these momentary things that are happening to affect you in a negative way. It's like Austin just said, don't be scared, be prepared. Do everything you possibly can. Pray like it's all up to God. Work like it's all up to you. And just stay chilled out about it, because what difference does it make in the long run? I mean, just this past week, one of my my mother-in-law's sister was taken off of life support. And she was supposed to die. She's like 92, 93 years old. And she didn't die. She came back. And now she's basically, she doesn't know who anybody is anymore, but she's breathing on her own, eating, talking, the whole bit again. And she's okay. She's back. And see, and this is these things that we need to be realizing, is that, you know, when we pass to the next world, we've got to be prepared for it. You know, there are a lot of people out there now in the alt media, you know, who aren't Christians. I mean, you guys see that. I'm not trying to pretend like that's not something that's not true. And, you know, and they don't have hope. They don't have hope for a future or hope for eternal life. They don't have any of that. A lot of them are in New Age stuff. A lot of them are basically involved in all kinds of weird things. But, you know, the reality is this. We have a hope because of who we believe in Jesus Christ. Now, I know a lot of you think, well, you know, it's still stressful going through the life down here and having to deal with this. Hey, it is what it is. You know, I mean, that's all life is a series of challenge-solving events. That's all it is. And the problem is, if we try to get overwhelmed by these things, then they become mind-numbing, and we can't function. And you can't do that. Just go on and go through it and go through it and go through it and go through it. It's kind of like going through a constant stress test. You know, you take your cortisol buster. You know, take your vitamin E. Take your supplements that help to eliminate all this stuff in your body, your B complex. And just go on down the road, do the best you can. The Bible says, Jesus says, my yoke is not heavy. He takes it from you. Your yoke. He takes your yoke from you and he carries it for you, so you don't have to deal with all of this stuff. Just remember, we've got a group of people on this planet right now that are doing everything they possibly can to bring us to an evil state of Genesis 6. That's the goal. And we have to understand that we have to stand in resistance against it. Like, there was a massive public pushback, and it basically sunk the New Jersey attack upon religious exemptions for vaccines. I mean, there were literally thousands, you know, on the 16th in New Jersey, there was a big victory. I mean, literally thousands and thousands of people protested inside and outside of the state capitol for over 10 hours on Monday, chanting, kill the bill, we will not comply, my child, my choice, and stay strong. New York Senator Joe Lugano, who had basically come against this bill. This is the victory for the people of the state of New Jersey, says Dell Bigtree, founder of ICANN. The bill was fast-tracked to steamroll its way to passage, but the good people of New Jersey rose up and reminded a politician who's really in charge of their children. The controversial bill, S-2173, would have put an end to a rule that allowed more than 14,000 state students to skip their vaccinations because of their family's religious beliefs. It was similar to the recent bills passed in California and New York State. Earlier Monday, the New York Jersey bill passed the state assembly in a 45-24 vote with 7 abstentions. State Representative Joseph Vitale, who sponsored the bill, said that he was the only vote shy of the passage, just the Senate vote would not be held. The New York legislature will have an opportunity to revive the bill in January before 2-year session ends January the 13th. But if the bill does not pass before January 13th, the entire process would have to start over again next session. Now, it'll probably start over again next session, guys, because these people that control Big Pharma, who make the tens of billions and hundreds of billions of dollars globally on vaccinations and basic unproven medical quackery, they're going to push it again because there's big, big, big money in it. And remember, it's the overall purpose of all of these vaccines is not only the money and the profits that are being made, it's the eugenics protocol and the sterilization of these children and introducing all types of pathogens, including cancer cells, into the body, which they did to us back in the 60s when they gave us the doggone polio vaccine. All of this stuff is what they do, and they've been called out for it now. And the sad part about it is it's always the same guys. The same guys who took down Building 7. The same guys that we talked about yesterday. It's always these guys that do all this stuff and get away with it. And it's sad to me, Austin. It really, really is sad that these people are allowed to have that kind of power over us only because we allow it. What do you think, bud?
That's exactly right. We continue to allow it, and that's why it's so important that people continue to stand up for what they believe, because obviously we see the hardcore leftist communists are very, very adamant about standing up for what they believe, and so we have to match that resolve. And I mean that very sincerely. We cannot sit back and be complacent and just pretend that this stuff's going to disappear. It's interesting to see a lot of the stuff that's been going on. All this stuff now, I mean, now we see the husband of House Judiciary Democratic received another $700,000 from Ukraine under investigation by FBI. I mean, all this stuff's going on, and what's crazy about it is that they don't want to talk about it in the media. They want to continue talking about the mainstream lies and the narrative, and this is what they continue doing. Also, too, we see up in Canada now that Trudeau is basically wanting to sign a bill that will criminalize conversion therapy in Canada as a despicable attack on religious liberties that could lead Christians going to jail for proclaiming that homosexual individuals can change. The conversion therapy that they're referring to isn't what you're probably thinking as far as, oh, you're changing, you're wanting to go from a boy to a girl. It's actually trying to convert people from homosexual behavior or transgender behavior into heterosexual behavior. That's called conversion therapy, and it's primarily a Christian movement that's taken root in Canada now. And so now they introduced a bill last week by Senate Judge Joyle, who's had got a lot of publicity, and Bill S-202 will make it an indictable offense, punishable up to 5 years in jail, to give out material or financially support indirectly or directly the provision of conversion therapy to anyone under the age of 18. So basically meaning if there's a 16-year-old boy who's gotten completely confused because of the twisted media and YouTube and Google and Facebook and all the rhetoric that's on all the time, and he's confused about whether he's a boy or a girl and what he likes and who he likes, and he's just completely confused. And you go up to him now and you say, hey, son, here's a Bible. I want to read you some verses in this. I want to try to give you some hope. I want to give you some encouragement. I want to let you know that you're not alone. You don't have to do this on your own. And I want to show you the way, the truth, and the light through Jesus Christ, through the Bible. Here you go. Let's sit down and talk about it. In this bill, if this passes in Canada, that will be a felony offense in California to try to give somebody information to straighten their life up if they're under the age of 18 and not getting involved in this unbelievably weird sadistic behavior like gender mutilation and everything else they're doing now. I mean, if that doesn't boggle your mind, I don't know what does anymore, but it shows you this is what they're trying to promote. This is what they're trying to encourage. At the same time, they're saying you can't say anything in college campuses about Zionism in the United States, but hey, we're going to pass a bill that makes it illegal to talk to children about basically straightening out their lives and getting their mind right because they're confused, that's illegal now. These are the things that we have to understand that are going on a regular occurrence. Also, too, in other news, Veriscan Biometrics, this is the system that got the contract in the U.S. airports that you guys have heard about that's now going global. It's the Airport Authority Office of Technology announced that it has surpassed 1 million outbound international passengers processed just this year alone in the United States. It is basically, I think, in 8 different U.S. airports now with 38 different international carriers. I've talked to numerous individuals that have been exposed to this program. This is the one, essentially, if you're going to board a plane or you're coming back in from an international flight or you're going on an international flight, it does a facial recognition software scan of your face just to board the plane or just to get off the plane. And this is all blowing up all over the United States now. More and more airports have already said that by 2020, they're going to adopt the program. And it's becoming more prevalent now because now they're saying that they've added it to Japanese airports. They're saying that 3-man airports in Japan will have it before the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo. They're now saying that the goal is to have 40 million foreigners basically in the facial recognition database in 2020 for the Olympics. Foreigners, guys. Japan wants to have your facial recognition information in their system when you come over there now. They're spending millions of dollars on this program along with the United States. Now, Jamaica Airport has announced they will equip the Jamaican airport at Sangster International Airport in Montego Bay, St. James, will have the facial recognition technology added to their airport at 15 automatic immigration kiosks in the airport now because they essentially want to go along with the whole program. Sweden now has also engaged with police for a pilot program. The data inspector will be meeting with police to consult on how to start a facial recognition pilot program at border inspections at the Skava Airport, the institution, right? It's the biometric facial recognition is used to match the image taken with one stored in the passenger's airport and basically allows you to go further if it matches. All this stuff is starting to roll together, guys, in this facial recognition software. That's why I've warned everybody, I've told everybody, if you're flying internationally, if you get exposed to one of these, decline it. As of right now, you can legally decline to have your face scanned by the system, and you can have somebody take you to the side, manually look over your passport, and clear you to enter the plane. Just like when everybody continues to get in line to get radiated through the radiation technology where they basically do the body scans and you put your hands up like a good little submissive slave and you stand there while they scan your whole body and you walk out. You do not have to walk through those. You can opt to be physically patted down and taken to the side around all of that system and they basically grope you, which is quite interesting, I might add. I've had it happen multiple times. But you do not submit to the system. You actually walk around it. And you make known in front of everybody's, I've done this every single time and I've talked about it before, you make known that you are not going to walk through that system, that it is not healthy, that it is not okay, and it's not something you're going to submit to. And it's ironic, the last time I flew out, the TSA air agent that I basically told that to, I said, no, I'm not doing this. I was very vocal about it. I was in line. He goes, okay, stand to the side here. I'll bring somebody over. We'll bring you over here. We'll bring you around the whole system and we'll pat you down. And as we're standing there, he walks up to me real quietly and he goes, to be honest with you, bud, he goes, I wouldn't go through this either. I see so many people go through this and he goes, I have no idea what this is going to do to us from a health standpoint. It's a TSA agent said this to me in the airport while I'm standing there waiting to get groped down. He told me he would not go through that system either if he was flying. So again, we have a right. And the problem is everybody's submitting to this like good little slaves. They submit to the biometrics. They submit to the body scanners. They submit, they submit, they submit. So what they do is they beta test this and they run an algorithm on it and they look to see how many individuals did not go through the scanner, how many individuals did not go through the biometrics. I can guarantee you it's less than 1% every single day, less than 1%. Because when I'm in line and there's hundreds of other people in line, I have been every single time, and my wife as well, have been the only people, only people that I have seen that have demanded not to go through the body scanner that is pulled to the side. I have not encountered the facial recognition software yet. I'll handle it the same way if I get to that. I just don't plan on flying international anytime soon, simply because there's no place that I really want to go that bad. I'd rather drive if I can go there, quite frankly, than I can carry a firearm legally and so forth. But this is what everybody has to start understanding. If we don't start making a stand, even if it's inconvenient, even if it takes more time, even if it's embarrassing in front of everybody, if we don't start making a stand, all these little things that they're trying to implement are going to slowly, slowly, slowly encroach on us so far to we're going to be in such a tight little coffin of a prison, we're not even going to know what to do to get around anymore, and we're not even going to realize how it happened because we sat there and watched it happen to ourselves, and we did nothing. You have the right not to consent. Use that right while we still have the ability to do so, Dad.
Very well said, Austin. Now, I know last year they were trying to pass a bill, and I think it may have gone through, that you could not opt out of the TSA screening, that you would, they would not allow you to fly. It was up to the discretion of the officer if they would pat you down or not. But I haven't really seen that implemented widely because I guess, like you said, it's only 1% of the population less. Actually, it's probably 0.1%, honestly, you guys.
Yeah.
Don't. They refuse to go through the medical, the scanner. Remember, this is a full body x-ray. I mean, when I go in and have my teeth x-rayed, I don't even like having that done. I make them put a lead apron shield around my thyroid and, you know, I run right up your neck so you don't get the x-rays into your thyroid. I mean, it is so damaging to the body with these x-rays that the pilots don't even go through these things. They refuse to do it. They say, we fly all the time. We're not going to be x-rayed constantly. All you do is increase the risk of cancer, which they've seen. So it's, again, it goes right back to that same group who took down Building 7. If you look at who did the doggone, who made the money for these scanners, you're going to find out it goes back to that same group. It's always the same people. It's always that same group. The same company, that the same group that runs the United States. You know, Tulsi Gabbard now is calling for censorship of the president. Now, censorship isn't like we're going to gag him and put a gag order, but it's not the same thing. Censorship is like the Congress would get together and vote to censor him, in which they would say they're formally reprimanding for him for what he did. She says she's still on the fence as far as the impeachment proceedings. But, you know, you think about it. What happened is Pelosi basically did this whole circus clown act show with these other whackbag Democrats in the House. And Donald Trump sent a scathing letter. I mean, you need to read it. I posted it on our website. He sent a scathing letter to the House for what they have done. In the history of the United States, this has never happened, that basically they're trying to undo an election through political means and using impeachment as a tool of undoing the election. And he's right. Pretty much every point in the letter he said he's right. The problem is that now they're unbelievably mad. She said it's a sick letter that he sent. No, it's not. It's just it's showing them for who they are. The problem is the Rothschilds have been so effective now at creating this communist divide in the United States. Remember, it took them 20 years or so to get the Soviet Union to the Russia, Mother Russia, to collapse. You know, back, you know, when they killed the Tsar's family, it took about 20 years of this kind of stuff going on, like right now with us, to get to the point where they finally rebelled and they started killing all the people in the hierarchy. And see, this is the problem that we have with these movements of communism that push in. And this is what's happening to the United States. What, you know, normally happens with a Republican, with a Republic, and that's why it's so difficult to have it keep that way. It has to happen with Rome. The Republic digresses and becomes a democracy. And then the democracy starts voting themselves whatever they want. And then pretty soon, the democracy basically degrades and becomes basically very totalitarian, becomes a dictatorship. And this is where we're headed. For this one world government in which they get to tell us and throw us under Noahide laws and behead us for believing in Christ. All of these things are basically being laid out for us. Now, the reason they sound so extreme to you, if you haven't been listening to the show, if you heard me just say what I said, is because you haven't been listening to the show and we haven't gradually introduced these concepts to you at this point. And that's the difference between the audience that we have versus the audience that other people have. And that's why I say to you, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, for the hope that I have in glory, for the relationship that I have with God through Christ, understanding what the blood covenant really means, I would have a very difficult time in dealing with any of this. Because you basically want to say, just hang them all. In fact, you probably say that anyhow. Because a bunch of them do deserve to be hung. I have to admit that. Even as a Christian, you got to say some of them are pretty much, you know, they've infiltrated our government and they're basically treasonous. and they've committed high treason, and they're trying to destroy the United States of America. And of course, our Constitution calls for people that are commit treason to be hung and to be basically executed. And some of them probably do, but the problem you run into with the executions, and I'm sorry, I'm chuckling about it because it's just people have written me that letter so many times, is this: who decides on who gets killed? And see, and this is the problem when you basically devolve into a democracy. If 51% decide that the other 49% hang, the other 49% supposedly get hanged. Unless the 49% say, well, you know, we just decide we're not going to go to the gallows. But how about if 51% say that these five people get hung? We wouldn't do that, would we? Well, we kind of already did that, didn't we? Look at Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein didn't do anything. He didn't have any weapons of mass destruction. He was completely illegitimate. Now, don't get me wrong. He wasn't a real happy, happy guy as far as, you know, the way he treated the world. But I tell you what, he kept the doggone Sunnis and the Shiites in line because he was worse than any of them. And, you know, it took a dictator like that in Iraq to control people like to kill each other. And he maintained order in Iraq. Same thing with Gaddafi in Libya. Look at the mess that Libya has turned into. Look at the mess that Egypt has turned into. Look at the mess that, you know, Iraq has turned into. Look at the mess that Afghanistan always has been. And now we have multiple generals and top people in the political process and in the military saying that this entire mess in Afghanistan has been a disaster, but nobody wants to talk about the poppy. We talked about that yesterday. So should President Trump be censored for what he did? And that means like a formal reprimand. Okay, whatever. If you want to censor him, go ahead and do that. But don't impeach him. Don't start this process, because he'll only be the third president. That's it's the second. You know, Johnson and Nixon was going to be impeached. He walked away, and then Clinton, and now Trump will be the third president that's been impeached through the Congress. And it's going to pass if it goes to vote, to a floor vote. It's going to be a partisan thing. But it's just a mess. And don't get me wrong. You know, I don't like everything Trump has done. I really dislike some of the stuff that he's done, especially with the red flag gun laws and the stuff about white supremacy and now making Israel sacrosanct on college campuses so nobody can protest Palestine. I don't like any of that stuff. Okay? That's all. I don't like any of it. There's a bunch of other stuff I don't like that he's done, but there are some things that he's done that are good. But the problem is he didn't do anything wrong with this Ukrainian mess. You know, if you're talking to somebody and you mention about somebody's son doing something wrong, you know, whatever, who cares? It's just the way it is. When you're in business, you got to negotiate stuff and you got to deal with stuff. And he's treating the United States like the corporation that it is, and he's treating it that way, trying to run it to make it profitable again, to make America great again in many of the areas that he's done. Now, has he cowed down to the AIPAC and to the ADL and to the gay lobby? I mean, he's super pro-gay president. He's like the most pro-gay president ever. Now, if that doesn't bother you just a little bit and you're supporting Trump, if you want to excuse that portion of it, that's up to you. But we've got to call out the good and we've got to call out the bad, because so many shows don't do that anymore. They only say Trump's this, Trump's that, or Trump's this. They galvanize you. They try to tell you how horrible Trump is or how great Trump is. There's nothing in the middle. We try to go down the middle with this and say, hey, look, this isn't okay. We're not going to do what we did with George Bush. We're not going to allow the Rothschild banking cartel to dictate how we feel about anybody, including the President of the United States. It doesn't make any difference. If he does it right, he's praised. If he does it wrong, he's criticized. That's how we do on the show. Now, to totally change topics, and this is a really horrible segue, but it's something I need to cover with you, I need to talk to you about the cancer-fighting benefits of coenzyme Q10. This is a really important topic, because coenzyme Q10 is a substance that's found in every cell of our body. It's in a variety of foods. And basically, if you're taking statins to lower your cholesterol levels, you're blocking coenzyme production in the body, and you can have a massive increase in heart disease and diabetes and cancer because of the statin drugs. In fact, that's one of the side effects of the statin drugs, is that every statin drug causes cancer, and one of the reasons that it does this is because of what it does with CoQ10. We have to look it up. We have to clear up the confusion about CoQ10. You know, it's technically not a vitamin because your body can synthesize it, so you don't need to get it from your food. However, its structure is similar to that of the vitamins, and also like vitamins, it acts as a coenzyme function in your body's metabolic reactions. The problem is when you take the statin drugs, your body can no longer produce it. Then you have to take it externally. And as important as it is, I take it every single day. It's got extremely good antioxidant properties. For example, it helps prevent oxidation of LDL cholesterol, which is important. It helps the supplements like vitamin E and tocopherol to work better. When your blood levels of CoQ10 are lower, your body needs more E from the diet to carry out healthy antioxidant reactants. It can lower your risk of dementia, improve your heart health, and increase your exercise performance. And it also will reduce the risks of cancer. In the 60s, since the 60s, researchers have noted associations between low blood levels of CoQ10 and cancer. People with lymphoma, lung, head, neck, prostate cancers all tend to have low levels of CoQ10. So you got to realize it's something you have to have. A recent study looking into links between CoQ10 and breast cancer examined data for nearly 1,000 women aged 40 to 70, and they have found that those who had serum levels in the bottom fifth of participants had 90% greater chance of being diagnosed with breast cancer. So women, you need to be on CoQ10. Men, you need to be on CoQ10. Now, here's the problem. There's different types of CoQ10. There's the crystalline form, the non-crystalline form. Different types are made different ways. Some of them don't even absorb. Some of them are only like 1% or 2% absorbable. The ones that we carry at Health Masters have the highest absorptive capacity ever, with the strongest raw material made as far as making the CoQ10, as far as high production efficiency. So we have the finest quality CoQ10 on the market. So you say, well, it costs a little bit more than the stuff I can get at Walmart. I mean, the stuff that they get from Sam's, or not Sam's, from China. I mean, that stuff, the stuff they make as cheaply as they possibly can, is contaminated with who knows what stuff. You mean that stuff? You mean the stuff on Amazon that sometimes that dumpster divers go into dumpsters and buy expired products and resell those products on Amazon? You mean those products? Is that what we're talking about here today? Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Guys, CoQ10, if you've ever had heart problems, if you're on statin drugs, which I don't recommend, by the way, if you're on statin drugs, or you ever have a tendency to think, or you have a higher probability of coming down with different types of cancer because it's basically in your family had cancer, guys, you need to be taking 2 to 3 capsules of CoQ10 from Health Masters every single day. Really, really important. It's one of those things, it keeps the heart really strong. Austin, what do you think, and what's your next story, bud?
Absolutely, and it's the same concept when you're dealing with ubiquinol form like we have, that's extremely bioavailable, which means it's absorbed almost immediately compared to a very cheaper form.
That's right.
It's very similar to the comparison of methylcobalamin B12 versus cyanide cobalamin B12, which I have an article on the website that we put together years ago discussing that on the aspects of why it's so important to take a methylated B12 and stay away from the cyanide cobalamin B12, because not only can it be toxic in high dosages, it's also very, very, very difficult to absorb. The body has to convert it in the liver and then basically turn it into methylcobalamin and then try to absorb it, and it has a very, very poor conversion and absorption rate at that point. It's the same concept with CoQ10. You can go buy these CoQ10s at Walmart and Sam's, any place sells vitamins. And they'll be, 200-400 milligrams per soft gel. And you look at them, and it's these big, giant capsules and the big milligram posted all over the bottle. And it's like, $19.95 for 120 capsules of CoQ10 at 500 milligrams a capsule. Obviously, right when you look at it from the get-go, you need to know that that's next to impossible to actually have that much CoQ10 fully absorbable and bioavailable in one capsule. Secondly, the fact that they're selling it that cheap shows you that it's straight and utter garbage. Majority of the CoQ10s that you buy on the market now that are really cheap simply come from synthetic CoQ10 in powder form that's brought in from China. I've seen this with multiple compounds now from different manufacturers when I've asked them about manufacturing stuff, and they say, we can get you this form. It's a lot cheaper. It'll bring your costs down. And I say, listen, my cost being high is not my main priority. I understand that good products cost good money. It's the same difference if you go to buy a high-end sports car or something. You're not going to go buy a high-end sports car that's going to go run 10 seconds in the quarter for the same price as you're going to buy a Toyota Corolla. There's nothing wrong with a Toyota Corolla, but you're going to pay more money for something that's going to have better performance. So you have to look at what you're trying to buy there, and if you want something that's going to give you the best quality, best performance, cleanest bang for your buck, and you're not going to be getting a bunch of garbage in your system, you want to go with a high-quality, bioavailable nutrient like CoQ10, ubiquinol, that we carry on the website at healthmasters.com. Now, another health topic I want to touch base on today is what we're starting to see in the health industry with the health of the younger generation. I've told you guys before, we're starting to see the numbers skyrocket with young children. They're having young teenagers, young adults, they're having issues with Crohn's disease, all types of digestive issues, kidney issues, all across the board. And we know that a lot of these things are contributed from the GMO foods. That's what I tell you to stay away from them. A lot of the preservatives. Another one, too, that in my personal opinion and a lot of the research I'm doing is starting to contribute to this is sucralose, otherwise known as Splenda. I got an email from a customer and a listener. Her name was Beth. She sent me an email yesterday, and she said she started working back in hospitals in 1973. She just recently retired. And she said back in 2001, she started working in the dialysis field. So this is about almost 20 years ago she started working with dialysis patients. She said that the average age of patients at that time in 2001 that she worked with was 60 years old. That was the average age of a dialysis patient. She said when she finally just basically quit recently, the average age for the group she was covering was 38 to 40 years old on dialysis. 38 to 40 years old on dialysis. And she blatantly asked me in the email, she said, what are we doing as a society to our youngsters that they essentially need to be on life support dialysis at 40 years old? And I responded back to her and I told her some of the stuff that I was basically researching on, and main aspect of that is glyphosate. I think it's a huge contributing factor. Some of the toxicity aspects
exactly
of vaccines.
Right.
We've seen now the younger generation, basically the millennial generation that I'm in, you know, in the mid-30s or so, and younger, and not myself particularly, but children around me were one of the first generations that had been almost solely raised on incredibly toxic processed foods. You know, a lot of the baby boomers were raised on processed foods, but to the extent and the aspect of chemical exposure, we've never seen. It's unprecedented since the 80s. And one thing that I brought up to her, I said, is sucralose. I said, sucralose is unbelievably toxic to the body. It is what is known as a chlorocarbon or a chlorosugar sweetener. It is essentially a pesticide, and it takes time, though, for sucralose to build up in the system. That's the thing about it. A little bit of sucralose, researchers have found out, small dosages of sucralose on a rare basis, the body can get rid of about 92.8% of the sucralose. Now, 92.8 seems like a pretty good number, but what people don't realize, that 8% of the chlorinated sugar still remains in the body and is stored in the body and accumulates in the tissue and makes the cells toxic. Now, what a lot of researchers have not addressed is the fact that sucralose is in almost everything now. It's in chewing gum. It's in almost every single store-bought drink that's diet. It's in basically almost every single candy bar, most of which. It's literally in almost every single protein powder that's basically, you know, mainstream on the market. You go to any of the stores, the health stores that have protein powder, 70 to 80% of them at the low end all have sucralose in them. The pre-workout drinks all have sucralose in them. The BCA formulas all have sucralose in them. Studies have shown that sucralose plays major havoc on the digestive system, causing diarrhea, gas, and bloating at the least. A study done on rats demonstrated that sucralose can have a negative impact on the gut's bacteria. Animals that were fed sucralose for 12 weeks had between 47 to 80% less healthy bacteria in their gut. And then they go on to say here, and this is something most people don't realize, Snopes and a lot of other these idiotic websites go out, and I've read them, and they basically say sucralose is 100% safe. The FDA approved it. They would never approve something that's toxic. Okay, so I'm not even going to go on that rabbit trail right now. But what they don't tell you is there were only 2 trials on humans done and published before the FDA approved sucralose for human use. Yes, 2 trials involving humans, and both of those trials in aggregate together only experimented on 36 human subjects. So 36 human subjects basically were tested for sucralose, and of course the researchers were sent to the FDA. The FDA approved it. Now what's even more is before approving sucralose of the 2 completed studies involving 36 participants, the longest completed and published trial of those participants lasted a whopping 4 days. 4 days on 36 participants to see not the adverse effects on human tissue, colon health, gut health, liver health, kidney health, but was simply done to see if it had an impact on tooth decay, over a four-day period. It did not have an impact on tooth decay. It was rendered safe. The FDA put their stamp of approval on it, and it's been on the market now for over 20-plus years. And what's ironic is that all of the animal studies, especially the long-term animal studies on mammals, have shown the potential issues are astronomical with sucralose. Decrease in red blood cell count. High, basically, interference with sperm and sperm fertility. Brain lesions occurred when sucralose was given to animals in high dosages. Rats fed with sucralose exhibited enlarged or calcified kidneys, which the FDA determined was insignificant when the researchers was brought to them. They said it's insignificant. Said, oh, it calcified the kidneys, oh, it calcified the thymus. That doesn't matter. Those are rats. That can't be. No. That's fine. We have 36 people that did it for 4 days, and they don't have cavities. It's completely safe, guys. This is the lunacy that we've seen now. And the article that's funny, when you read research, this is back from 1991 on sucralose. 1991 that I pulled up from the New Scientist. And this is when sucralose, people were having a fit about it. Scientists were going left and right not to approve this stuff. A consumer group in the U.S. has expressed serious doubts about the safety of sucralose. This is in 1991. The sweetener, which is approved for sale in Canada in September this year, 1991. The Center for Science and the Public Interest, a group based in Washington, has called for additional toxicology studies to establish whether the sweetener is likely to damage the immune system. The main experiments on rats that have currently been done showed that animals fed a diet rich in sucralose suffered severely shrunken thymus. The thymus gland plays a key role in the immune system. Multiple other studies on rats showed the enlargement of the liver and serious damage of the kidneys when animals receive sucralose. Ah, but the two companies that developed sucralose, Tate and Lyle in Britain, and of course the one and only Johnson & Johnson in the United States, had already satisfied the U.S. Food and Drug Administration that the sweetener was safe, and they determined that the 36 individuals in the two research studies that were tested for 4 days on tooth decay was enough to render sucralose safe and exploded on the American population like an atomic bomb. And now we're seeing individuals in their 30s dealing with problems with kidney failure along with a plethora of other issues. And so the reason why I bring this up again today, guys, is I can't even tell you how many times I bring up sucralose to people. And people give me this blank look. They go, oh, it's safe. It's derived from sugar. It's completely safe. And I go, no. And I go off on the rant. And most people, after I tell them this, I show them the real research. They go, man, that stuff's toxic. I don't want to put that in my body. And I go, yeah, you don't want to put that in your body. It's unbelievably toxic stuff. The reason why I'm bringing this up again today, sucralose is in so many products. That's why when I created the Muscle Blast, we created the Muscle Blast. Health Masters brought the Muscle Blast formula, the full spectrum amino acid formula. I was adamant, no sucralose. When we had the Fit Food come out years ago, Dad was adamant, no sucralose. When we came out basically and we worked with the company that made the Purple Sticks that are just everybody loves, we get emails left and right about how everybody loves that product with the Purple Sticks, no sucralose in them. Sucralose is a chlorocarbon. When it meets with hydrochloric acid, which is the acid in your stomach, the chlorine atoms that are connected to the sugar molecule, it breaks off and it releases free chlorine atoms into the digestive system. Chlorine is one of the most toxic substances known to man. That's why they banned chlorine gas in warfare after World War I, because of how unbelievably horrific it is on human tissue. Yet we allow it in the food that we eat on a daily basis. And as that article I brought up at the beginning of the article, it accumulates in the tissue. If you get it on a rare occasion, and I mean rare occasion, it's not the end of the world. Your body can process it. It can detoxify. You take some GHI cleanse. It gets it out. But when you use it every single day like most people do, and the crystal light formulas, the protein powders, the diet drinks, the chewing gum, it accumulates slowly in the body for a long period of time, and you start having severe toxicity issues with the liver, the kidneys, and the colon, and there is no doubt about it. If you do the research on what this does to mammals, it is unbelievably horrific of a product that nobody needs to put in their body. And so I want to bring that up again today, because when I saw that email from Beth, and she said when she quit, the average average patient age of dialysis patients was 38 to 40 years old. That's only a couple years older than me. And these guys are on dialysis. This is a serious issue that's going on in this country with the food and health of our population. And it's ironic. The only thing anybody wants to talk about in the mainstream media right now is Donald Trump's conversation with another country's president via second and third party hearsay. And nobody wants to discuss the toxic elements that are being fed to the people on a daily basis and what we can do to prevent these horrible effects from coming down on everybody in this population right now, Dad.
You know, often chlorocarbons are pesticides. Chlorine is chlorine. It's basically bleach. And, there was a product called Chlordane, and it was available, gosh, until about 20, 30 years ago. And it was the best product that you could use in preparing a slab against termites because it lasted forever. And you could put it under a slab, and you could basically keep termites away forever if it stayed dry. You could put it on an ant bed. It would kill the entire colony within moments. And it was called Chlordane. I remember one time I got ants. I was eating in my car in college, and I got a bunch of ants in it. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. So I took Chlordane, and I sprinkled it all around the tires because the ants have to come out and get moisture, get water. And I put the Chlordane around the tires on the car. And the next day, like, all the ants were dead. And I didn't put it on. I didn't put it in the car. I knew it was too poisonous. I just put it around the ants, around the tires. And I thought, this is crazy. And it's a very toxic product. And, this is something that people use in their sweeteners. A few years ago, Austin, if you remember, you and I went to a bodybuilding contest over in Orlando. And we literally went through every single booth. Every booth.
Yep.
Every booth to find a protein powder or a protein bar that did not have either sucralose or aspartame in it, and every single one of them, 100%, were contaminated. All of them. And that's why we have our peanut butter bars and stuff that we have in the office that have no sucralose and no aspartame in them. They're phenomenal. They taste great, too. In addition to that, the protein powder, that's why Health Masters protein powder is so good, because we don't use these artificial sweeteners. Now, let me give it to you this way. One time I was flying up to Chicago for a radio TV show, or I don't remember anymore. It was going to be a conference. It was back in the 90s. And it was when this stuff had first come out, this chlorocarbon with sucralose. And I sat down beside a biochemist, organic chemistry professor from the University of Chicago. I don't remember his name. And we started talking about diet sodas. And he was actually drinking a Diet Coke on the airplane. And I said to him, you being an organic chemistry professor, I'm surprised you're drinking a diet soda. He goes, it contains methyl alcohol. I said, it's got pain center in it. He goes, that's right. And he goes, but your body can metabolize small amounts of methyl alcohol. And he said, it's bad for you, but I don't drink it very often. And I said, I don't drink it at all. How much pain thinner do I want to drink? I don't want to drink any. He said, well, what about sucralose? He goes, won't touch it. He goes, it's a chlorocarbon. It's a pesticide. It destroys kidney function. He said, it's unbelievably bad. He goes, no amount of it is safe. So he said. And so here's the problem that we have, Austin. We tell folks this all the time. We try to explain it to them all the time. And yet people still drink stuff with Splenda in it. They still use the stuff, in the yellow packages. They still use stuff in the blue packages. Now, the stuff in the pink packages, that's sweet and low. That's sodium saccharin. It's bad. Don't get me wrong. But it ain't nothing compared to these two. And your body can metabolize small amounts of saccharin. It's not a big deal. They don't have a bunch of death rates associated with it. What the two are that you have to stay away from, the one that particularly that Donald Rumsfeld had passed, which is aspartame, back when he was head of the Food and Drug Administration. By the way, that's a brain entrainment molecule because it's the releasing of because it's a dopamine trigger. It's got phenylalanine aspartate. The aspartic acid has a trigger in the brain that releases a dopamine signal to the brain when you drink it. It's why it's so addictive. And then, of course, you get the sucralose. So the best thing to use is stevia. There's all kinds of other natural sweeteners. We have some of them, including monk fruit. But just stay away from these pesticides that are masquerading as sweeteners. I mean, come on, guys, really? And these products that cause brain tumors and brain cancer, like aspartame, which has been proven repeatedly. I've read an entire article on that. By the way, to go back to the CoQ10 for one second, I wrote this a few years ago, and it says, your heart depends on this nutrient. Don't use a cheap, maybe toxic Chinese version, and it's about CoQ10. And I went into detail on how it's manufactured and how it's produced, and including what you have to look for on the label on this. You have to look for Transform Ubiquinol CoQ10. It needs to say that on the label. If it doesn't say that, don't use it because it's probably a cheap synthetic substitute. And guys, remember, this is one of these things that are really, really bad for you. But it's got to say, again, you know, the transformed CoQ10, if that's the proper source. Now, unless they're lying to you, if it's coming out of China, who knows what it's from? The transformed CoQ10 is identical to the body's own CoQ10. Again, yeast fermentation, though, to beets or sugarcane is the proper source, not the Q10 derived from tobacco leaves and then chemically concocted to make synthetic CoQ10. So we've always used the healthiest form of supplements we possibly can, including the transformed CoQ10. So make sure you use that. If you're going to get a coenzyme Q10 supplement, and make sure you know the source, you know it's not out of China. That's really, really, really important, because if you get stuff out of China, it could really be bad for you no matter what. Also, air pollution is bad. A new study from Yale shows that air pollution can actually cause a huge reduction in IQ scores and intelligence. This is a China study conducted in China by researchers of the Yale School of Public Health in the United States, have shown that the air pollution causes a huge reduction in intelligence and IQ score. While the research did take place in China, by the way, which is very polluted, okay, the research suggests that 95% of the global population is breathing unsafe air at levels that would cause significant reduction in IQ scores. Now, I have to disagree with them about the general air in the United States because of all of our scrubbers we have on the smokestacks, but I will say they are correct about the air in the United States due to chemtrails because of the aluminum and what's being happening with that. That's why I recommend the magnesium brain food, because it's been shown to help pull that aluminum back out of the system. And, you know, it's just really important that we understand that. By the way, Breitbart has a new article out, and I've got to cover this because it's so disgusting. Teen Vogue's magazine. Now, this Teen Vogue has a top transgender Christmas gift, because now they're actually giving top transgender Christmas gifts in Teen Vogue with little girls like to read. They're offering chest binders to make your boobies go away so you can't see them, scar cream for a post-op or sex change or when you have your breasts removed, and Teen Vogue is ringing the Christmas season with his gift recommendations for transgender loved ones that encourage surgery and other forms of body mutilation to treat the psychological condition of gender dysphoria, is what this article says, and I totally agree with that statement, and it's unbelievable to me that this is happening right now. Oh, by the way, millions of people now have basically signed a petition against Netflix about coming out with a gay Jesus, saying we don't want to have you guys do this. 2 million people now signed a petition protesting Netflix's gay Jesus Christmas special. Remember, Netflix is owned by the same people, you got it, that we talk about all the time. They hate Jesus. They have atavistic hatred of Christ. And Netflix paid for this. It's not like they're airing somebody else's movie. They paid for this movie to be produced. An online petition protesting Netflix's Christmas special that portrays Jesus Christ as a gay man has reached 2 million signatures, putting pressure on the streamer to pull the show. The First Temptation of Christ depicts a 30-ish Jesus bringing his boyfriend home to meet Mary and Joseph. The Portuguese language special was debuted worldwide on Netflix earlier this month. It comes from the Brazilian group Porta dos Fundos, literally back door. The petition is demanding that Netflix retract the 46-minute show, that the makers be held responsible for committing a crime against the faith. Netflix is facing mounting criticism over the show. The Catholic Bishop of Tyre, Texas, has called the streamer blasphemous over its release of the Christmas special. Now, I'm going to say this to you guys again. If you have Netflix and you're a Christian, what does it take for you to get rid of your Netflix subscription?
Yep.
I'm asking you a question. They got Jesus running around as a gay guy bringing his boyfriend home to see Mary and Joseph, and you're paying them to do this. What's it going to take for you to say, the heck with Netflix, cancel my subscription? If 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 million people cancel Netflix, they'd stop this garbage. They'd stop it. But as long as you pay them to pollute the hearts, the minds, the souls of the people of the United States and the world and your children, they're going to continue to do it. Ganook, enough. Enough is enough. What do you think, Austin?
Oh, that's exactly right. It's funny, and I keep bringing this up, but I brought this up years ago when I canceled my subscription with them, because I already saw what they were doing when they refused to remove the gay and lesbian film genre line, basically from the very top of the list, even second down from the list, whatever it was. And so you're absolutely right about it. Everybody has to continue to make sure that you're standing up for what you believe. I mean, I can't reiterate that anymore, because the more we see the values and ethics of this country being compromised, It's very easy, and I'll admit it, because I mean, I've dealt with the same thing as well. It's very easy to get in a laissez-faire attitude and come in like, ah, well, whatever, it's just $8.99, it doesn't really matter, people already pay it. I like some of the shows on Netflix, it's convenient, and you come up with all these excuses, and you justify and you rationalize it in your own head. Well, what happens next when Netflix come out with a big film basically promoting massive abortions, and it starts showing abortions in film? Oh, this is great, this is fantastic. All these women are getting abortions. It's so fantastic. You know what? It's just Netflix. They're doing this. They're doing that. How long are you going to leave it up there? Because here's the problem with this, too. If you know Netflix is okay in these films and produces these films and shows these films, you know that Netflix won't take these films off if you request them to, because I already tried to do that. How are you going to explain to your child when you're gone one afternoon and they get on your Netflix account and they watch a movie about gay Jesus? How in the world are you going to explain that to them when you get home and they ask you, oh, Dad, Jesus is gay. I want to be gay, too. I'm being real straight with everybody right now. How are you planning on explaining that to your kids when they ask you that question because you have that filth available at your house? It's a real serious question I want everybody to contemplate. The little children, our little kids that we have running around, I have two of them, and we had them real close together. Hunter's three and a half. Kennel's about to be two next year. When these kids start to get exposed to this stuff, there's no unraveling it. You can't unsee it anymore. When these kids are this age, you have to do the best you can to protect them from it. That's what I've told everybody as well. You have to make sure what they're getting exposed to is okay in the school systems. You need to know what they're getting exposed to. You need to talk to your teachers or their teachers, their principals, everything. What are you okaying in class? Are you teaching them at 5 years old how to basically masturbate and how to have different sexes and change your sex and be a unicorn or a girl or a boy this day, or talking about how the different options of intercourse when they're 8 years old, which they blatantly teach them now in California? Are you okay with your children being that secularized, being taught that rhetoric at that young of an age, and you're okay with that? I'm not. So there's certain things you have to do, and there needs to be lines in the sand, because you know the sad part about it is you look back, and I admire a lot of the men in the older days in the United States on the resolve we had, the resolve that the American Christian men had in this country, the absolute no, we're not going to do it. I told you guys before, something that I found almost comical, but it was so serious, was the Risky Rebellion right after the Revolutionary War, beginning in 1800, when George Washington and a lot of the individuals basically in Congress came in and said, listen, we're going to have to put a 1% tax on all the spirits in the United States to try to cover the war rebuilding efforts for all the damages of them. And everybody basically out in Kentucky and whatnot went, no, I'm not paying 1% on my liquor. I'm not paying anything. You guys want it, you can come and take it. And sure enough, the tax collector came out there, this big group they have, got in a gunfight with them, shot all the tax collectors and all the marshals that came out there, all the guys that came up, killed them all. So we're not giving you any money. George Washington had to march like a 30,000-man army out there to subdue the group because it was getting so big. They said, hey, guess what? We're about to start Revolutionary War too, because you're starting a 1% tax on our liquor. That's the resolve they had, and I'm not saying that that was good and that wasn't something they really needed to start that fight about over liquor. It's really not healthy for you anyways, but that's the resolve and the tenacity they had back then over something that was so minor. Could you imagine now if the governor of Florida came in and he said, hey, listen, we're going to add a 1% tax on fuel, and half the state of Florida said, absolutely not. We're going to start going in and no longer paying for fuel. We're going to make our own fuel. We're not going to pay your tax. We're not paying any tax. Imagine what kind of uproar it would be over a 1% tax on something. People think that's nominal now. I mean, shoot, the idiots out in West Florida right now voted to have a 1.5% income or sales tax increase on themselves. They voted for it last election. It still boggles my mind. You voted to increase your taxes so the politicians could blow more money on crap that you didn't approve of. It boggles my mind. This is what we have to do with our money. Don't support things. Don't support companies. Don't support places that blatantly go against your values. The more we do that, the more of a difference we can make. And people go, Austin, there's so many people that don't even care. They still support them. They still give them money. They still go to Starbucks. Okay. So you're okay with being like everybody else? If everybody else decides they want to hang themselves from the bridge, you're okay with that too? Because everybody else does it, you think you should do it? Be the difference that you want to see. Make a difference. If you don't agree with it, make yourself vocal about it. I do it all the time. And I told you guys, I won't disarm myself. I even went to Disney unwillingly with my wife because she wanted me to go, and I still didn't disarm myself. I didn't expect the confrontation that I expected to have at Disney Springs, but I still went, I still bit the bullet, and I still made sure. And by the way, I never disarmed myself. I never allowed myself to be disarmed. I left the premises and told them they would not get a penny from me ever again, and I left with my family. But I never allowed myself to be disarmed. And that's the resolve everybody has to start getting with so many of these topics, or else we are not going to be able to keep the information fight up and the fight for this country and constitutional rights if we don't set a line in the sand and hold that resolve the best we can, Dad.
You know, and Austin, this is why I'm just going to say this, because we're almost out of time. You got to support patriots that are Christians.
Yeah.
I can't be any more direct than that. I want to thank you guys for getting your toothpaste and your multiple vitamins from us. I mean, geez. I mean, why don't you just give me one other show that does this? I mean, I've had people come on my show before as guests. We have them upon occasion that use bad language on this show, and I'm like, well, okay, well, whatever. Or they use bad, or I start to find out how bad a language they really have. I don't bring it back on again. Just don't do it. It's not worth it to me. Guys, it's so important that we all realize that. You know, we got to support each other. And so I want to thank you again. You know, you guys, you've overwhelmed us with your Purple Stick purchases. And I don't blame you. I love that product too. Thank you. And your CoQ10 and your B-Complex and your multiple vitamins. Thank you. Guys, support the patriots that are Christians. And, you know, you can support the ones that aren't Christians too if they're telling the truth. But, guys, without Jesus Christ in the middle of the mix, what the heck, man? How do you get through this? I love you guys. I got to pray for you today. It was my privilege. I'll also go ahead and finish it up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely, bud. Thank you again for the support. Like Dad said earlier, the Purple Sticks, we've been moving a lot of those. Hopefully we can keep some more in stock this time. You know, those are a really popular product. I had another guy email me yesterday, and he said, you know what? He goes, I was buying another brand when you guys were out. He goes, they were working okay. He goes, then I got this new batch in from you guys, and I forgot how good they were. He goes, the other brand took like 30 minutes to kick in. He goes, when I got your Purple Stick, I tried it. It kicked in at 2 minutes. And I said, I know. I said, this is why we use this. That's why we use it as a pre-workout. That's why I stack it with the HGH and the magnesium and the muscle blast. You mix it all together, and you have yourself one of the most aggressive, one of the most nutritious, and one of the most bioavailable cocktails you can possibly drink before and during your workout. Do it all the time. And, I mean, that's why a lot of people, when they train with me and I give them this stuff, and they go, man, they go, I'm unbelievably sore, but I recovered so quick. And I said, yeah, that's because you're giving your body real, true bioavailable nutrients that it can utilize all day, throughout the day. So again, thank you for the support of Health Masters. If you need anything, please check us out at healthmasters.com. Feel free to give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. We're here to help you guys out the best we can with nutrition or diet needs. Thank you again for the support. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Stay prepared as always, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.